It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, summer is a time for fun, but it's also a great opportunity to start some projects you've been putting off all year or creative endeavors you've been waiting for inspiration to strike. Email us about your summer project plans. You can do it now at ideas@wpr.org. First, it's high school and college graduation season, a time when many students finally achieve that goal they've been working so hard for. And for the rest of us, there's no shortage of goals in life, a promotion at work, the completion of a major project, even getting married. Whatever the goal, we often tell ourselves that reaching it will make our lives better and bring us happiness. But what if after hitting that goal, you realize it wasn't all it was cracked up to be? Well, that happens a lot, and it has a name. Our next guest is here to talk about the arrival fallacy, how it plays out in our lives, and how we can think about goals and achievements differently in a way that hopefully makes us happier. Tal Ben-Shahar is an author and lecturer who specializes in positive psychology. He's written several books about happiness, including Happier and Being Happy. Tal, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Great to be on your show.
Well, give us a description of this concept of the arrival fallacy. What is it?
Yeah, so the arrival fallacy is a very common illusion that actually most people entertain, and that is that when they will arrive, when they will reach a milestone, when they will achieve a goal, when they will get that promotion or that raise or find that person, then they'll be happy. And then they get there and they realize very quickly that it was an illusion. They're not there yet. And then, of course, they go on to the next hope, the next illusion, and on ad infinitum.
What is it that makes us less happy? Are we just dumb to begin with and think that good thing is better than it is? Or is there something about not having a goal and not knowing what to do with ourselves?
Yeah, so here is the thing. You know, there are essentially two schools of thought. One school of thought says it's all about the goals. You know, achieve your goals, fulfill your dreams, and then you'll be happy. The other goal says, you know, that's an illusion. It's not about the goal. It's about being in the present. And both are right, partially, because we do need a goal. There are very few people who can lead a full and fulfilling life without having an objective, a goal, something to strive for. At the same time, very few people, if any, will be happy just by achieving that goal. In other words, it's neither all about achieving the goal, neither it is just about enjoying the present. It's about finding some combination of the two, and most of us fail to do so.
How can we do better at that, at not deferring our happiness till later, but you're not going too far in the other direction and not having any goals at all?
Yeah. So first of all, it's about realizing that goals are important, central. You know, we are future-oriented beings. We do need something to strive for. At the same time, so having that goal is important. At the same time, we shouldn't delude ourselves and say that our happiness is contingent on the attainment of the goal. It's not. So having a goal is important, and yet realizing that the most important element of happiness or the antecedent of happiness is actually the journey on the way to that destination.
Tal Ben-Shahar is with us. He's the author of books including Happier and Being Happy. We're talking about what's called the arrival fallacy, the idea that, hey, when I hit this milestone, the new job or promotion, retirement, what have you, graduation, then I'm going to be happy. It turns out doesn't usually pan out that way. There's a sense of letdown, of disappointment. Tal, can that letdown be dangerous? I've heard, especially when we're talking about retirement, the person thinking, when I'm retired, when I'm done with the rat race, then I'm going to be happy. That can be a really serious letdown, maybe even with health consequences.
Yes, very much so. So we know, I mean, most people know of stories of people who were even close to them, who came to retirement, who had been waiting for retirement for so many years, and then they get there, and what happens? They suddenly develop illnesses, depression, so mental as well as physical illnesses. We also see it elsewhere. So we see very often among celebrities, among very famous, very successful people who fall into depression, who go into drugs, alcohol, sometimes suicide. And that is for a similar reason. You see, because many of these people grow up unhappy or not particularly happy. And then they're constantly told, don't worry, when you make it, then you'll be happy. In other words, when you become rich, famous, successful, then this unhappiness will be over. And they make it. And they are initially very happy, in fact, when they arrive, when they have all the money that they want, when they can have any relationship they want, when they are famous and admired. But then after 3 months or 6 months or a year, they realize that there is no there there, meaning they get there and they go back to where they were before as unhappy as they were before. Only this time, they don't have the illusion that when they make it, then they'll be happy. And you know, the difference between sadness and depression is that depression is sadness without hope. And they have no hope because they realize that they can't find that happiness in anything which is in their reality. So they look for answers outside of reality, and outside of reality, drugs, alcohol, or the ultimate exit, which is suicide.
Tal, let's turn our attention to those graduates I mentioned earlier, people just out of high school or maybe just out of college now. How do they set themselves up to not have the arrival fallacy? How do they set up goals that will make them happy instead of goals that create unrealistic expectations?
Yeah, it's a very important question. And the answer is, unfortunately, that it's very difficult. And it's very difficult because in our culture, we're primed towards the arrival fallacy. So, you know, for years, you know, my daughter has just entered middle school. They're already talking about getting into a top college with her. So everything is geared towards when you make it, then you'll be happy, whether it's the explicit message or the implicit message, because it's so important to get there. So whether as parents or teachers or as a 12-year-old girl, you need to understand that the secret to happiness is not the achievement. It's not the arrival. Yes, of course, I'm all for being ambitious and for hard work. However, the benefit, the real benefit of hard work is the work itself. The real benefit of ambition is the excitement that you feel as you're being ambitious towards that goal, not the achievement of that goal.
Is part of the secret to have multiple goals going on at a time so that just because we've reached one of them, we aren't left drifting aimlessly?
Good. Yes. Yeah. So there are a few things we can do. First of all, it's really to have a few goals so that we're not empty once we achieve something. And the other thing to do is expectations. You know, expectations are very important. For example, if I expect to, to meet my Prince Charming, my princess, and then live happily ever after, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be frustrated. And it's going to hurt the relationship as well. If I expect the next promotion to make me happy, I'll be disappointed. So to have realistic expectations. The other very important thing is once we achieve that goal, to accept the fact that there is going to be a letdown. Once again, related to expectations, it's natural to feel a low after a high. And that's okay. And if we expect it and we accept it, it's not going to impact us in too harsh a way.
Is pop culture just setting us up for failure here? Because all the movies just about end with we just defeated the evil empire or got married or whatever, and then we have happily ever after. We don't see that post goal achievement stage.
Yes, exactly right. And we see it especially, as you alluded to, in relationships. You see, the problem is that movies end where love begins. It's after they walk into the sunset. That's when the real work begins. You know, the analogy that we can use here is, you know, we go to work and we come, you know, we finally, after years and years of looking, we find our dream job. Now, imagine if we find our dream job and on the first day, we just sit down and revel in finding our dream job and do nothing about it. You know, we'll be fired before we know it. It's the hard work begins once we found the dream job. Why not when we find our dream relationship? Why not start working hard then? And once again, it's a manifestation of the arrival fallacy. We arrived, we got there, and now we can live happily ever after. Not at all. That is when the work begins. And now it doesn't have to be painful work. No, again, the journey is the essence, not the arriving at the destination.
We're talking right now about arrival fallacy with Tal Ben-Shahar. He's an author and lecturer who specializes in positive psychology and happiness. We're looking at why hitting our goals, a career goal, life goal, love goal, whatever, doesn't always lead to the happiness we expect. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been there? Have you experienced this arrival fallacy, achieving that goal, personal or professional, only to feel let down, aimless maybe, afterwards? Do you wish you could have done things differently? Or have you found a better way, a way to set those goals in a way that keeps you doing cool stuff and happy while you're on the way? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Tal Ben-Shahar. He's an author and lecturer who specializes in positive psychology. We're looking at arrival fallacy, why arriving at our goals has the potential to make us unhappy, and what we can do about it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you find yourself achieving one of your goals in life only to find out it wasn't all it was cracked up to be? So how did that make you feel? How did you work through that? Do we put too much pressure on our achievements? Is there a better way to approach goal setting? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Jeff is with us in Mosinee. Jeff, hello.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Jeff?
Yeah, I think one of the problems with people when they hit their goals, they're not satisfied, is maybe they're setting hollow goals. They need to think about how they're going to feel when they reach their goal and why it's going to make them happy.
Is this something you've tried in your own life, Jeff?
Well, like, for instance, losing weight. I lost 60 pounds once, and I didn't really feel any different, you know? Once I got there, it wasn't just a number.
Huh. Did you set a new goal then, or how did you get through that?
I just kept on doing what I was doing, to be honest.
All right. Jeff, thanks a lot for sharing that story. Weight loss, another good example. Tal, do we need to think a little more deeply about what our goals are and what we're hoping to get out of them?
Yeah, no, this is great, Jeff. One other thing that I would add to that, in addition to thinking hard, talk to other people who have achieved goals. You know, talk to people who are close to you, mentors, family members, because we are not always good at predicting how happy or unhappy will be. So there's wonderful research by Daniel Gilbert from Harvard on effective forecasting. And what he shows is, for example, that professors believe that once they get tenure, then they'll be happy for the rest of their lives. And again, they arrive there, they make it there, and very quickly they go back to where they were before, as happy or as unhappy as they were before. You know, lottery winners very quickly go back to where they were before, emotionally speaking. So we're not very good at predicting. So two things. One, you know, speak to other people. And two, really look within. Is this something that's very important for me? How is it going to change my life if I do arrive there? In what meaningful ways, if at all?
Well, one thought on what Jeff did. Okay, he hit that 60-pound weight loss, a pretty big deal for a lot of folks. Maybe a goal might have not been the number, but what can I do in my life that I can't do now at this higher weight? Like some way of not just hitting that goal, but how does my life change? What do I do with that? Is that a way to advance ourselves a little bit?
Yes, exactly. Which applies, by the way, to many other areas. So for example, retirement. What am I going to do once I retire? Or if I do get this promotion, what am I going to do differently in this new position at work? And once we can connect again to the journey after that arrival, that can change our experience of the arrival.
Jeff, thanks for sharing your story at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Judy in Waukesha. Judy, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to bring up, Judy?
Well, I'm 75. I'm bringing up my grandchildren who are 17 and 20 right now. And I've had them for 13 years because their mother died, and they don't have a father in the picture at all. And they had quite an eventful child. was quite violent and so on. But right now, one is in the upper 1%, and she has studied so much that she had to get stop and take a gap year and get more stable. And the other one doesn't like to study at all, so he has crummy grades, most of them. And it's really hard. I don't think they even know what goals are. And we're just so different. It's so hard to bring them up. Do you have any suggestions?
Judy, thanks for the call. And I know we'd probably need a lot more info to give super personal advice there. But for kids who grew up in trauma, any thoughts on happiness and goals, Tal?
Yeah. So, Judy, thank you for this question. You know, it is important for kids to find something that they are passionate about. And I think the best thing we can do for children is to expose them to different things, because they may not be passionate about, you know, studying hard for a math exam or an English exam, but they may be very passionate about birds, or they may be very passionate about food. And we need to help them identify what it is that they're passionate about. And once we do, to go with them. You know, the key for children is to experience quality in anything that they do. It could be paper mache, it could be sport, it could be something academic. But let them experience quality. In other words, find something that they're passionate about and then invest their time and effort there. And this is our most important role as educators, to help them do that. Again, we do need a goal, but it really doesn't matter where that goal is, of course, as long as it's not hurtful to them or others. It doesn't matter what that goal is, but we need to help them find something.
Judy, thanks so much for your call. Best to you with your work as a grandma and to your grandkids as well. We are talking about the arrival fallacy, what happens when we meet our goals and we're not as happy as we thought we would be. Tal Ben-Shahar is with us. He's the author of books including Happier and Being Happy. Back to your calls now. Catherine is with us in Green Bay. Catherine, hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi, what did you want to share with us, Catherine?
I am 54 years old. I've been a truck driver. I drive over the road, which means I go all over the United States. And I had trouble figuring out what I wanted to do after working in the industry, the restaurant industry for 25 years and the education system for 15 years. And while I was doing both of those jobs, I had both of those jobs at the same time always. So I was always trying to make ends meet, but I found out that I was a people pleaser. And it was exhausting me. So I thought to myself, well, what can I do? What do I love to do on my day off? And I used to get in my car and drive as far as I could. And I loved being over on the road. So I thought to myself, wow, I wonder if I could be a truck driver. And then I did it, and I'm making more money than I've ever made. I've become a stronger person, more confident person. I have less issues with people, because I've had to weed those things out in my life. I used to get taken advantage of all the time for my money or for my time, and it was exhausting. And it would get to the point in some of my jobs that I would be like, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
Catherine, thank you so much for sharing your story. And it sounds like, Tal, in a lot of ways, she did it right. She didn't just think, once I switch careers, I'm going to be happy. She said, hey, wait, why don't I find a career that involves the things that already make me happy?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's also related to what Judy asked before. It's about, whether it's with children or adults, it's about finding something that we're passionate about doing on a day-to-day, not something that we think will be happy when we make it. And also, it's a wonderful metaphor. It's driving. It's all about the journey.
Thank you so much for the call. I think we have time for one more caller. Michael is with us in Madison. Michael, hello.
Hi. For years and years and years, I fell into the trap of thinking, if only I, you know, can get this, if I can get the girl, I will be happy. If I can have a certain drink, I'll be happy. If I have a certain job, I'll be happy. If I have a certain amount of money, I'll be happy. I found one night I made a sale, and I made $5,000 on one sale, and it didn't make me happy at all. And I found out that I can be happy no matter what circumstance I'm in. And it doesn't have anything to do with the goal. It all comes from within.
Michael, thanks for that call. Happiness comes within, from within, Tal, but I don't know, maybe easier said than done?
Yeah, it is easier said than done. And you know what Michael was talking about and what Catherine was talking about is that happiness is not about making it to the peak of the mountain, you know, achieving that goal. At the same time, it's not about climbing aimlessly around the mountain. Happiness is the experience of climbing towards the peak. So yes, have a peak, have a goal, and then enjoy the experience, the day-to-day, the journey, the experience of it all.
Michael, thanks for sharing that. I'm glad you're finding what you need to be happy. That's great. Tal, in our last minute or so, for people who haven't gotten to where he's gotten, how do we start? How do we start reshaping the way we think of our life goals?
Yeah, so first of all, experiment. Realize that, you know, as Mahatma Gandhi called his autobiography, my experiments with truth, not my arrival at truth, not my finding truth, my experiment with truth. So experiment, try things out, and have realistic expectations. You know, life is about ups and downs, difficulties, hardships, as well as joy and excitement. And when our expectations are realistic and when we try things, we arrive at higher levels of happiness than we expect.
Tal, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Tal Ben-Shahar, author and lecturer who specializes in positive psychology. He's written several books about happiness, including Happier and Being Happy. He joins us today to talk about what's called the arrival fallacy, how we can avoid unhappiness when we reach our goals in life, in our careers, whatever.